Lecture 21, The War in Virginia, Winter and Spring, 1862-63.
This lecture will continue our examination of military events in the late autumn and winter of 1862 and the spring of 1863. And our topics will be two major campaigns in the Eastern Theater, which unfolded while William S. Rosecrans and Ulysses S. Grant were campaigning in Tennessee and along the Mississippi River out west. We'll begin by looking at Abraham Lincoln's decision to remove George B. McClellan as commander of the Army of the Potomac and replace him with Ambrose E. Burnside. Then we'll examine Burnside's strategic planning and the disastrous Union defeat at Fredericksburg and its bitter aftermath for the North. We'll finish up with a discussion of Burnside's successor, Joseph Hooker, known as Fighting Joe Hooker, and Hooker's ignominious defeat at the hands of Lee and Stonewall Jackson in the Chancellorsville campaign. But we'll start with a look at the Lincoln administration and its attempts in the fall of 1862 to come up with a winning commander and a winning strategy in the Eastern Theater. Lincoln, who'd been impatient with McClellan at many points during his relationship with that troublesome general, finally lost all faith in McClellan in the aftermath of the Battle of Antietam. And this time, he decided to remove him once and for all. The reason he did it is because McClellan was simply not showing any indication that he would go after Robert E. Lee and try to deal a real blow to the Army of Northern Virginia. McClellan was a Democrat, as we've seen, and he was becoming, in the eyes of Republicans, not just Lincoln, but Republicans in Congress, far more obnoxious in his willingness to say that he thought emancipation was a mistake, to say that the Republicans were running the war in the wrong way. He was crossing the line that military figures should not cross. He should have stayed in the military sphere, believed many Republicans, but he insisted on making known his views about political issues. That was a problem. But a bigger problem, from Lincoln's point of view, was that McClellan waited a month before he began to pursue Lee after the Battle of Antietam. And when he did begin his pursuit, he moved very slowly. It took his army 6 days to cross the Potomac River. Lee's army had crossed in one night after the Battle of Antietam. At one point, McClellan telegraphed Washington saying that he couldn't go after Lee until he had replacements for a number of his horses. Horses that were worn out. An exasperated Lincoln sarcastically replied in one of his famous notes to a general, "Will you pardon me for asking what the horses of your army have done since the Battle of Antietam that fatigues anything?" There clearly is a problem between the commander-in-chief and his general. And in the end, Lincoln got rid of McClellan. Now, he waited until the day after the elections in November of 1862 because he was afraid that if he removed McClellan earlier, it might alienate Democratic voters. But at any rate, McClellan is gone. November 7, 1862, Ambrose E. Burnside is the new commander of the biggest army of the United States. Now, Burnside was reluctant to take this high command. He probably had a better understanding of his own limitations than Lincoln did. He didn't think that this should have been his position, but he accepted it. He's relatively young, 38 years old, a graduate of West Point who had had a really uneventful pre-war career. He resigned in 1853, took up residence in Rhode Island. He'd later be a prominent politician in Rhode Island after the war. And there he designed a breech-loading rifle. It was called the Burnside rifle. It was a weapon that was used fairly widely during the Civil War. He was nominated to Congress as a Democrat. He eventually went into the railroad business, as George B. McClellan had in that period before the war. Burnside, by all accounts, was a very affable, popular man. He had many friends, and his friends were loyal to him. He'd won several victories early in the war off the North Carolina coast, had won promotion and quite a reputation with those victories. He had fought at Antietam as one of McClellan's principal subordinates.